Because I think I talked over her and I didn't hear. So we have to give Dora Maria more time. Like, Dora Maria, you get more time next week.
It is all good. It is all good.
Well, you guys also had a good little flow towards the end too about something that you wanted to continue talking on. So I was like, okay, let's dish out a little more time to let you guys finish up your thoughts, because you guys know I always have thoughts to follow your segments. And if
some continuity from show to show to show, but how can I not have? I mean, I've worked with her on this platform for 2 years, so I know her work so well. And, you know, so yeah, I always try to connect to her. I will say my other trick, though, as a public speaker, because there's public speakers here, I do listen to the person before me, and I always try to make sure my presentation in one way, shape, or form connects to what they said.
Absolutely.
Jeremy does that real well, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I do those days. So,
well, I hope it works too, because I finally put together an ebook for people. It's not out yet, but it's 9 characteristics of being a good speaker, and one of them is reading the room. And one of the most important things you can do when you step into a moment, especially for those people that feel nervous sometimes if they're behind a mic or if they're about to speak for the first time, is whatever's happened before them, the audience is still simmering with. Like, you're showing up into a room that is already currently created in a certain way to where the audience was left with an emotion. It's up to you to have skillful tactic as a speaker to be able to maybe bring them out of that. Let's say the person before you was talking about a funeral from their mother, and the whole room's going to feel a certain kind of way, especially if that speaker didn't have the creative mindset to be able to bring them out of that emotion. So it's important for you to come in and be like, if you came in, you're like, all right, let's go. We're ready to take this next speak. Like, everyone's going to be like, oof, hey, let me have a second here to like gather my bearings. Versus like, if you came in and you're like, man, I just want to acknowledge first what's going on in the room. You know, it's a very difficult time for Stacy and her family. So I wanted to make sure that they felt seen, heard, appreciated. And then you go from there, because now the audience is like, hey, I feel seen, heard, and appreciated too. Your audience is the most important thing forever. I don't care if you're a speaker or not. The people that are in front of you are going to be the people that pay you. They're going to be the people that trust you. They're going to be people that be your friends. They're going to be the people that be your, maybe is your spouse, maybe is your business partner. And if they see that you trample on the people that came before you, they're not going to care what you have to say. It's part of the reason why I kind of give the BWC family a little bit of a hard time when they're like, all right, everybody on mic and go pew, 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 because it's not authentic unless somebody really wanted to come off mic and be like, hey, I just wanted to say this really quickly before this next person goes. Hey, I just wanted to give you your flowers. That was a really, really important segment for this reason in my life right now. Like right now with what's going on, this is really important. And so thank you so much for doing that. The market will speak for itself if it wants to speak. People will speak for themselves if they want to speak. And I can't, Marilyn, I can't emphasize that enough of just like being able to understand the people that are in the room. And as far as what you guys were talking about before I came in, I started my Instagram live and I put the trusting ourselves, learning to trust ourselves and our identity as the title, because that's what I'm going to start with. And then I'm going to lead into the next part, because something C-Rock said when he came in the stage, and something that certain people have said over the past, I've noticed, is that I am statements. C-Rock said if he was put on this earth, butt naked, again, with no money, no nothing, he would know exactly how to get to that next stage because he has the experience. He goes, and I work my butt off. It's just who I am. Who I am. It's like in his identity. And our identity is instilled in ourselves at such a young age based on the way that people talk to us, based on the way that people react when certain things happen. If you touch the stove and you have a parent that's standing behind you like, ooh, hey, oh, yeah, I'm sure that hurt a little bit. I'm sure that shocked you, you know, versus, oh my gosh, oh, I can't believe you did this. Like, you know, it's the reaction is going to draw out the emotion from the child. And in the same way, how our identity is shaped as a kid, where if you are in the talented and gifted segments of your class, if you are having a lot of success, maybe at a young age, that's where you have those people be like, oh man, Jeremy's talented. He's really smart. He's really this, he's really that. And what's interesting is before my father was hurt, I had a lot of that. I was in fifth grade reading as like a first grader. I was in fifth grade math. I was playing football with people that were 3 years older than me. I was playing basketball with people 3 years older than me. And everyone who saw me was filling up that same engine of he is advanced for his age. I started to believe that. I was walking around with a little bit of air of confidence. I didn't spend a whole lot of time with people that were 5 years old. I spent a lot of time with people who were 8 years old, 8 years old and 9 years old, and I was having success. What changed is when my father was hurt, the people that were allowed to be in my circle were no longer restricted. They were no longer filtered out. So there were certain people in my life that were like, yo, you're a failure. You're a crybaby. You're all this and all that. Like, oh, you suck. The identity that was being pushed towards me was now you can't do these things. And oh, it was horrible. Actually, it was pretty. We had a backdoor neighbor that actually pointed a BB gun at my head and cocked it probably about 13 times and put it right up to my temple. And that was the kind of person that was allowed to be in my life. And so now doubt was starting to creep in. So the winner of those identities, one was so extreme of he's the most talented kid in his grade. He's the most talented that. He's the most talented this. The other side is he's soft. He's weak. You know, and this is the way that it kind of works sometimes where you, when you grow up and you kind of have an unfiltered parenthood, you have, you're built by the streets. You're built by the people that are your friend group and whoever is kind of in control of that friend group or who's ever in control. And I was the soft one. I was the weak one. So imagine taking those two extremes and then trying to find somewhere in the middle. And that's where I landed. So I went from being this person that had a huge future ahead of him to somewhere in the middle. And that was where I landed in my identity. My I am statements were, man, I'm kind of soft. Man, I don't know if I can do this. It wasn't no longer like laughing and having a ton of fun and being this joy on the court or being this joy in life or being this joy with my friends. It was now a lot of uncertainty and doubt. And so when people talk about not wanting to find their own identity in life, I hope that they have, number one, patience with themselves of whatever identity was instilled before. You had somebody that came into your life at a young age or along the way or in certain moments that were really, really important for you and instilled a certain legacy, instilled an idea of who they thought that you were, and you respected the source. And I get that. I get the understanding of having coaches, having teachers, having people that we respect give us a certain feedback. And even if it isn't with their voice, it's with their body language. Human beings are incredibly smart, even if you don't think some people are smart. We have a very intelligent, emotional intelligence. We pick up on body cues. We pick up on body language all the time. That's why people say it's how we say things much more than what we're saying. Now, you're hearing me through an audio, but I guarantee you can feel that my mannerisms as I'm speaking. But people have instilled a certain identity into who they think that you are, and at some point you believed them. And it was the only way that you got love. It was the only way that you got attention, because if you showed up in a different way that made them feel uncomfortable, the way that our world works, if that person was not someone who wanted to uplift and see someone as more than they were going to expect you to be in your same scenario, in your same mind state every single day, because it made them feel comfortable about who they were. So if someone really close in my family, they were known for being the sassy one. They were known for being the person who would talk back, who would have an attitude. They were given love that was put in attention. There was a spotlight put on that at a young age. So when that person walked into the room, oh, here comes trouble. And now there's certain fun that comes along with it. Just because your character is maybe seen could be detrimental toward you doesn't mean there's not positives towards it, of course. But it was, here comes trouble, here comes this. Now this person knew who they needed to be in order to receive love, in order to receive that same attention. That's how you built your identity. You knew who you were, and that's how you learned how to trust yourself and how you needed to show up. So give yourself patience and understand that you, for in order for you to unwork that and to learn how to trust yourself, if you can build an identity in change, and if you can build an identity in the unknown of who you can be every single day and give yourself that freedom, now you could be known as the person who can show up as different. That's how you can start to build that trust with yourself, as you're starting to say these I am statements. And here's the part where I don't want people to do. People like to talk about, you know, fake it till you make it, and these I am statements of making these bold statements about who you are in the morning of like, I am great, I am phenomenal, I am talented, I am this, I am that. I agree to a certain extent. Tell the truth. I'm capable of being talented. Yes. I'm capable of working really hard. Yes. I've shown myself to be a hard worker at times. Yes. But to just say, I'm fantastic, I'm amazing, I'm the best, I'm this, I'm that, if that's not the truth right now, your inner voice is going to be like, yeah, no, it's not. That's not the case. And your inner voice is going to win more than that outer voice, that external voice. Start with the truth. Work your way towards what you're trying to project for yourself. Build that identity over time, and then make the next small right decision to prove yourself right, to prove this new identity right. Whether that's just going to the gym in the morning at 6 a.m. before everything starts and being one of the first people awake, whether it's going to bed every single night at 9 o'clock, 9:30, and starting to do the simple things correct and starting to build trust with this new identity. You can't say you're one thing and do the other. It's not going to work. I feel like that's how people, then when you show up and you want to present yourself in a certain way to build friends, to build connections, to build relationships, to build a network for yourself, people feel that authenticity when you show up for the first time and they're like, I like that person. I like Mary Kim. I like who she's built herself into be. I like Dora Maria. I get a good feeling when I walk away from the situation from her, because I don't know. I just get a good feeling about this. I like that Randall guy. He seems all right. That comes when you learn how to trust yourself, as what Sarah and Randall were talking about in their towards the end of their discussion, where it's like, how can you build that up if you've never felt that for yourself before? So that's where I'll stop for the previous conversation that we were having. If there's anybody that has some feedback or wants to ask a follow-up question before I move into the segment that I was going to do originally, feel free to unmic, or I'm going to check the messages.
I did want to, Messenger had put in the chat that if there was an opportunity, he had something to share and trust. So I just thought I'd let you know, Jeremy.
Sure, let's do it. Messenger, feel free to go ahead, man.
All right, thank you. All right, so I've been incorporated, I think, the last three people to talk, from Rhonda to, what's the gentleman, he left. All right, he left from what you said. All right, so trust. So who do you trust? And you spoke a lot about trusting self. That's the key factor, I'd say, is trusting self. So who do I trust? When I see people that trust themselves, there's a certain essence of how they walk and how they talk and how they act and who they are as they're embodying their true self. And who they are, and when that happens, those are the people that we tend to trust that more. It's also kind of like a form of authenticity also, because once you know yourself, you know what's right and what's not, so a lot easier. Now, I also see, especially on Clubhouse, there's a lot of people in the hallways, in the goo, whatever, that a lot of times what's stopping them from speaking? Well, it's because going on stage talking and putting those words out, how they would be received. And so that fear, all right? So they don't know themselves, they don't trust themselves in that part. Now, if they knew how it was gonna be responded from, the reaction, I'd be a lot more people speaking. So that part, and then to experience that, one must attempt it, put that effort in to try. So I think her name was Sarah, Susie, something. She was talking about the intent. So the intention. So then when we look at trust in general, trust is a very key part. They say there's a thin line between love and hate. All right. In my philosophy, it's not hate. Hate is not the opposite of love. It's fear. So there's a thin line between love and fear. If I trust you, I'm going to love you. If I don't trust you, I'm going to fear you. So the thin line, that thin line between love and, you call it hate, I call it fear, is trust. Where's the trust at? And that trust can be played with intention, where the intention is. So as, again, what I love, I'm going to put my effort into. And effort is intention. Intention is effort. Where I, so with a lot of that, that shows what we can trust in. Again, like, so my intentions and my effort to fix it, and a little side note on the physical side of things, like, all right, you're never going to see me underneath the hood of a car. I could do a lot of things, but that's not one of them I'm going to do. So in doing so, to trust me underneath the hood of your car to fix your car, it's not likely. But my effort, you will never see my effort or my intention underneath the hood of your car. So you're more likely to get me to pick up dog poop than fix your car. All right. So that's another form of the trust. All right.
But I'm just gonna give you a 20-second warning, man. Land your plane. I really appreciate your 2 cents. Go ahead.
We trust what we love, and we don't trust what we fear. I think I had one more thought, but I lost it in that part, so I'll just land right now. Thank you.
Well, there's a couple things where the world has a lot of phrases that people accept at face value. First off, I really appreciate you being able to put together your thoughts. I think it's really important for people to do so. I think it's important for people to be able to come up on stages and share their piece, and especially things that they feel passionate about. So I appreciate you sharing. I have some pushback, and so maybe we can have a conversation about this, because we really fear is a complete illusion in the world. And so if we have the phrase that we are going to, if we don't love someone, if we don't trust them, we are going to fear them, that might be a more personal operation for yourself in this moment of your life, then it might not be the same in 5 years. You know, that might not be the same as you continue to learn to build that trust with yourself, where if you might not trust someone, the opposite side doesn't have to be fear. The opposite side of that could be just love, actually. You know, because of anything, and people know that I speak a lot about the Bible and my faith, just because I don't trust you doesn't mean I'm not going to love you and appreciate who this person is in front of me for exactly who they are and exactly where they are in their stage of life. You know, I may not agree with almost anything that you said, but that doesn't mean that I can't love you as a person and be like, hey, let's talk about this. Let's see where, let's have a little bit of a, let's agree. Let's disagree pleasantly to see where we can come to a different idea for the whole room, or maybe even if just agree to disagree, and I hope things turn out well for you. So I'm going to give you a chance, I guess, to extrapolate quickly on the idea of, if you don't trust someone, you're going to fear them, because that would be fair for me to give you that opportunity first.
I'll just make sure. In singularity, you're right. Love just is. It just is. There is no opposite. And in a biblical standpoint, the only opposite would be indifference. So when I speak on fear, I speak more on the duality side of things than the singularity. So because behind duality is singularity, and everything is just all the oneness, and it just is. So broken down, though, that's where I come in with the fear part. So, which is more on the more the programming side of things than the biblical side of things. So that's where I try to come up with that fear part. And to understand singularity, most have to go through duality to get to singularity. So depending on what frequency and what level someone's at is where I'm speaking on. So. Thank you for correcting me on that part, as I did not express that part of it. I was just going right in on that one part.
No worries. And I feel like sometimes people have not necessarily, like, kind of like hot takes that can sound good and that can sound like they can impact somebody. People are very influenceable. I was very influenceable at one point in my life when I tried to operate on the world standards of what I wanted to be and what I thought I was. You know, if I thought I was an athlete, I was like, okay, there's a certain way I need to show up. There's a certain person I need to be in this world. If I think that I'm a leader, I need to do this, this, and this. I can't think any of those things. I have to be able to have the fluctuation of right now I'm a learner, right now I'm a this, right now, 2 seconds from now, I could be in a completely different state of mind and a completely different opportunity to learn, to grow, to lead, to feel sad, to have a human, to have a human experience. But I think it's really important to note, though, because people are influenceable, that if something sounds good where it's like, hey, I don't want people to fear. Like it's, you know, there was a person that, and honestly, I think that the quality of our life is going to be dictated on our ability to know our morals and values well enough to where we hear certain things. That's why I gave you a lot of praise, actually encouragement, because when you hear certain things and you have a very good set of morals and standards of who you are, you're going to be like, what do you think about this? And you're going to ask a follow-up question or you're going to have pushback. And so what I encourage people to do for those who are having a hard time, maybe find out their identity of like, who am I? Like, what do I want to be in business? What do I want to be in the world? What kind of place am I trying to create for myself? Is to do a thesis on yourself. The fact that we went to school for however many years and we wrote a lot of papers and we did a lot of projects, and we didn't do a thesis on what our morals and values are and our like mission statements, I think was kind of a letdown in a sense. I also think that's why when people first found out about like dream boards and vision boards and things that could kind of push their identity forward, that it had such an impact, especially when the self-help movement kind of first started growing and gaining popularity. I think there was a big shift in the world of people finding their power, because it was something they had never done. And it's why the self-love movement, I think, was actually a pretty big one too. And I think it's actually gone too far. And I think it should be self-care and stick with self-care and the basics, and then work on loving other people and working on building that love that's so big that it actually makes an impact on the world that you're looking for. But as far as doing a thesis, I encourage people to do, like, if you sat down and wrote a 10-page thesis of what your mission statement is for this world and what you plan on doing, you're going to see those hot take buttons. You're going to see those moments. You're like, I got to push back here. You pushing back against the world is a good thing. You having a different opinion than everybody else is a good thing. Because that's where diversity is our strength. That's where people can actually like can be encouraged to have an open mind and think differently about certain things. There was a guy on an app called Wisdom that I speak on from time to time. And he was saying it was talking about sexuality and certain things. And he was like, ignore the church, ignore the teachings, and, you know, just do what you want. And it was voted as like a good answer. And I'm like, of course it was voted as a good answer, because the person who listened to that was like, oh yeah, that's how I feel. And so I was like, it's important for me to step in and be like, hey, I can appreciate and love people where they are, but discipline is really, really important. So if you're just going to go off of every whim of things that you want to do in life, you're not going to make it. You're not going to have at least the life that you probably wanted to have, because it comes with responsibility and discipline. And if you can't trust yourself with a little bit, you're not going to be able to trust yourself with a lot. I had this conversation with one of my teammates in the past, where they were talking about how they didn't feel comfortable and they had a pretty small role on the team that they were on. And I remember I told them, I was like, you know, I want you to embrace where you're at right now, because if I were to give you this other role, the leadership role, the one where you have to be the one to maybe get the points when they need to, or kind of help people get into the game, because right now, if we fail, it's not on you, it's on me. The pressure is on me right now. So just understand, this place that you are at right now is a gift to you, to give you a small little incubator to grow in this space, so that you can be prepared if you decide to step into that new leadership role. Shaq said it to Damian Lillard on the set the other night. He goes, you and Giannis are being too nice. and for those of you who follow the NBA, but it doesn't matter if like your top two people in your business cannot be nice all the time, because sometimes they need to be able to pull someone and be like, hey, you got to step up. Like, this is your role. I need you to do this role and I need you to do it great. You have to be a good delegator, but you also have to be a good communicator in those moments, like where you can lift them up, but you're like, hey, I need you to be better. Here's the reasons why. If this fails, it's on me. It's not on you. It's going to be on me and this person and this person. So just understand that the things that you may want are going to require discipline, love, and strength, and a commitment to yourself. So it's like, don't just accept things just because it can fit your narrative right now, because the narrative that you're looking for and that fulfillment that you're seeking is beyond what's going to take for that discipline. We only have 60 seconds left. I know Mr. Randall and Sarah had some extra talks today, but I think that I'm good with closing up here on time. Does anyone have a small final comment? And again, Messenger, thank you so much for chiming in. And if not, that's totally fine. We can just pass the mic early and hand the mic over to Mr. Tyrone Poole. So I'll be done. So thank you guys. For the people that joined on Instagram, good seeing you guys on there, and we'll land the plane.
Thank you, Jeremy, but I'm going to say pew, pew, pew. Not be out of disrespect, but just because you and I have a great sense of humor together, and I know you get that. So thank you. I love always love your energy.
Thank you, Mer. Thank you, Larry Lynn.
Over to you, Tyrone.
Jeremy pulled into the terminal early, huh? I was used for you going overtime, man. So you might start texting me or something. Let me know, hey, T-Pool, I'm going to finish early today, man. But hey, man, it's all good, man. I'm just messing. Just messing. But you know, that's how we do it in football. That's how they do it in basketball. Teams that win championships, they talk.
All right, so everyone that listens to this later on.
He said the reason why we won was because we talked. We talked. We talked all through the game, and that is true. That's how we won championships in New England. We talked on defense. We talked from one side of the field to the other side of the field. We were talking. That's how you win championships. So even in a business, people, y'all should use that. Everybody is talking. There's not one person in that office building that should not know what is going on for that entire day once those lights come on. So I'm telling you, I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. Praise be to God. Communication wins championships, even in a marriage, a relationship, even talking about God. If you want to communicate, you want to be effective, you got to talk to God every day, every minute. Every minute. And I'm gonna share this before I jump in. Someone didn't believe that, you know, God existed, right? So the person to make their example to them,
hope you're well too, man,
is broadcasting every day, every minute, every second, right? The person like, no, man, God is not, he's not talking every day. He's not talking every day. He's not broadcasting every day.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, God is broadcasting.
Yes, he is. Every day.
And now, just because you can't hear God, you know, I'm about to tell you why you can't hear God, right? Okay, so think about a radio station. Right now, I'm in my house.
Well, let Tyrone finish his point.
Jazz station that plays the Work That Thing commercial here in Atlanta. Now, I know they're broadcasting. They're broadcasting. I don't hear them right now. I don't hear them. The reason why I don't hear them, because I don't have a receiver to pick up that FM frequency. If I go and I turn on my computer.
Good to see you.
Put it on that FM 91.9 WCLK, those are the call letters. I'll hear them broadcasting right now. It'll come in loud and clear. Sometimes it comes in so loud and clear, I got to turn it down. So for all those who say that you can't hear from God, you don't have the right receiver. That's why you can't hear God.